Good morning and welcome back to Nachayomi. Today, our focus is going to be Yirmiyahu, Perek Chavav, the 26th chapter of Yirmiyahu. This is actually a story, so it's not so much about what Yirmiyahu is saying, but actually a false trial which ensues. So Yirmiyahu is finally brought to trial because of his prophecies. The dating of this Perek is very clear. It's at the Bereshis Mamlachus Yoyakim and Yoshiyahu. So this is the beginning of the reign of Yoyakim. Yoyakim is the king who's not going to be so willing to hear Yirmiyahu. He has peace with Egypt. He does not feel that he is threatened by any emerging powers in the north. And everything seems to be just fine, and Yirmiyahu is telling people it is not fine. Evil is emerging. So the Perek starts off while Yirmiyahu gets up to the gate and he starts saying at the Heichal Hashem. You can imagine it must be a festive scene. It's probably a time of Aliyah LeRegel. Some of the Forshim say it's even at the time of the mourning of Yoshiyahu HaMelech. The point is that this is a time where there are throngs of people, there are lots of people around, and there's Yirmiyahu standing there telling them that that if people don't do tshuva, bad is coming. And V'nosati Zabai Zazek Kishilo, he goes so far as to say, he says, V'nosati Zabai Zazek Kishilo, I'm going to make this house like Shiloh. What's Shiloh? Well, Shiloh was the place where the Mishkan was before it was destroyed in the times of Eli at the very beginning of Sefer Shmuel Aleph. Yes, and says Yirmiyahu, and I'm going to make this city, Yerushalayim, like a curse for all the nations of the world. So a very harsh prophecy. You kind of imagine it's probably a little bit of a downer on the festive spirit. Everybody's coming up, and they're not really looking to hear these kind of things. So what happens? So the first group of people, we hear about a few people who respond to Yirmiyahu. Vayishmu hakohanim vanevi'im v'kol ha'am. We hear the priests, the prophets, and the people, the rabble, respond to Yirmiyahu, and they say to him, they grab onto him, and they say, Mois Tomus, you're going to die. It's important to notice, if you're reading through this parak carefully, where the is, where the people are. So at this point in time, it sounds like they are trying to persecute him. They say, you should die, Yirmiyahu. And why are you claiming, they ask him, that this house, this is the Beis HaMikdash, Yirmiyahu, this is the house of God. How can you claim it's going to be destroyed like Shiloh? What blasphemy? And the Sarei Yehuda hear this. The Sarei Yehuda seems to be the dignitaries. The leaders, the governors are by the gate of Hashem, the new gate of Hashem, and he is brought in trial in front of them. So what happens? So they say to the Vayomer HaKohanim HaNeviim El HaSarim. So the priests and the prophets say to the Sarim and to the and to the people. Now the people on the other side, they're sort of listening rather than the prosecutors or persecutors. And they say, these priests and prophets, Mishpat Maves La Ish Hazeh Ki Niba El Ha'ir Hazois Kasher Shamatim Ozneichem. He is a false prophet. He said that the city is going to be destroyed. He must die. And Yirmiyahu offers his defense. Yirmiyahu says, you know what? Hashem sent me to say this. This is what Hashem wanted. I'm in your hands. Do what you want with me. But Ach Yodoy Teidu, no, he says in Tesvav, Ki imi misem atem oisli, if you kill me, ki dam no ki atem no snim aleichem. My innocent blood is on your hands. Ve'el ha'ir azoyis ko yoshver, and it's going to be on the heads of everybody in the inhabitants of this city. So what happens next? The Sarim say to Yirmiyahu. They say the Sarim and the Vayomru HaSarim v'chol ha'am, the officers and the people. Now the people seem to be on the other side. Say to the prophets and the priests, Ein lo'ish hazeh mishpat moves. He is not liable for death because he spoke in the name of Hashem. And they explain. The elders say, you know, at the times of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, there was a person called Micha HaMorashti, Micha from the place of Morashe, and he prophesied that there would be destruction, Tzion Sodeh Techoresh, that Zion would be plowed as a field. And what ended up happening was, that didn't happen. Chizkiyahu didn't kill him. They did Teshuvah, and everything was fired by Nochem El Hara'ah Shidiber Aleihem. So how could we kill Yirmiyahu when he is saying the same thing? And the parak closes, where it continues to say, V'gam ish hoyo misnabe b'shem Hashem, Uriah ben Shemayahu Mikriyasi Hayarim. They talk about another prophet. His name was Uriah, the son of Shemayahu from Kiryat Yarim. And he prophesied destruction. Yehoyakim heard about him. This is now the times of Yehoyakim. he went into exile in Egypt, but Eliakim or Yoyakim sent this fellow called Elnasan to Egypt, who extradited him, and they judged him for death, and he was killed and buried in a sinner's cemetery in front of the king. And the parak closes that Achikam ben Shafan protected Yirmiyahu from the people who wanted to kill him. Very strange parak, just to try to follow what's going on. So let's just recap the ideas and then try to put it all together. Again, Yirmiyahu is giving his prophecies of doom. He says that Yerushalayim will be like Shiloh, slated for destruction. The prophets, priests, and the people say he should die. They bring him to the Sarim. These seem to be the elders or the judges. He's brought in front of the Sarim. The nation seems to switch sides now. They seem to be the listeners rather than the prosecutors. And the prosecutors say he deserves to die. Yirmiyahu says, I'm prophesizing the name of God, and my blood will be on your hands if you kill me. And the ministers defend him, and then two stories are presented. One story is about Michayahu in the times of Chizkiyahu, who was not killed for his prophecies, rather tshuva was done. And the next story is presented about this person called Uriah, who was prophesied in the times of Yoyakim, must have been right around now, and he was extradited from Egypt and murdered. So let's try to understand this. So just in those two stories at the end of the parak, the Meforashim, Radak, Rashi all point out that actually those are two voices. The voice is the elders are trying to defend Yirmiyahu by saying, look, there was another prophet who prophesied and he was not killed. And the people responding, or the priests and the prophets responding and saying, well, yeah, but there was a prophet today or in this era who was killed. So they're saying that's not a precedent. They still want to kill him if it were not for the fact that this fellow called Achikam ben Shafan stands up for Yirmiyahu and physically actually defends Yirmiyahu from the rabble. That's what seems to be going on over here. So that's the general flow of the parak. Just a few points to think about right now. And that is first of all, you see something very interesting. If you look through the Malbim in this parak, the Malbim says something very interesting. And that is that throughout, there are actually really two voices who are prosecuting Yirmiyahu. There's the voice of the people who want to kill him, and then the voice of the priests and the prophets. The people aren't really evil. The people are like rabble. They just, you know, they go with the flow. They say whatever pleases them at this moment, and then they are shifted by the next orator or speaker who can shift them in the next direction. So the reason why they want to kill Yirmiyahu at the beginning is because it's inconvenient to hear truth of this nature. So they say, let's kill him. But later on, we see them switching. They're going to now believe when they do with the judges. They're going to listen to what the judges have to say. So that's the one side. They're not particularly evil. They're just going the flow. Then there are the evil people. These are the prophets and the priests. In fact, the Mitzvot David points out that these aren't just prophets and priests. These are the Kohane Baal, the priests of the Baal offering, and the Nevi'e Sheker, false priests. So these are the evil people. They want to kill him because they claim that he is a Navi Sheker. They claim that Yirmiyahu himself is a false prophet. It's always this way. The most further from truth is where the liars go. It's not like they're saying, oh, well, he's partly true. No. The liars are the one who say the truthful person is lying. That's what seems to be going on. Here's something which we obviously hear today, you know, when, you know, Israel is made the pariah, sort of, you know, the human rights violations are all lumped on Israel, which is the most democratic country in the Middle East. You know, it's always this way. Yirmiyahu is going to be called the false prophet, yeah, by the false prophets. What we see also here is an interesting thing in this whole episode. And that the Malbim points out that when you look at the words of Yirmiyahu in his defense, you'll see that he addresses both the rabble's claim of the inconvenient truths they don't want to hear and the claim of false prophethood, if you read all the way through this parak. In fact, Rabbi Binyamin Lau points out, Rabbi Bini Lau points out, that when you read this parak, it needs to be read in conjunction with the first half of parak Zion, where you see Yirmiyahu was told to stand in the gate of Hashem and present the prophecy to the people of Yehuda. And over there, he is very explicit about saying, I am telling you that if you carry on oppressing the people, you carry on the social injustice, murder, taking advantage, all these things which are mentioned in the Aseret HaDibros, you're going to falter and be cursed. The Rabbi Lau argues, is actually part of the hearing that Yirmiyahu has. This is his defense. So part of the voice in the parak, in this parak of Yirmiyahu can be found in the courtroom, is actually in parak Zion, which needs to be threaded into the middle of the proceedings over here. It is interesting that after all is said and done, so after Yirmiyahu was taken to court, and he presents his side, and they present the opposite side, and there's a story brought in his defense about Michayahu, who is saved, and the story against him, which is brought about Uriah, in the end of the day, the last pasuk closes it all, and that's pasuk Chof Dalet, which says, "Ach." Yad Achikam ben Shafan ha'esah es Yirmiyahu. Achikam literally physically protects Yirmiyahu from the people of Yilti Teso Sabiyada Omam Yisai to prevent him from being given to the rabble. Who is this person? Who is the silent defender of Yirmiyahu? So first of all, his name is Achikam ben Shafan. Both of those names should be familiar. Shafan, in fact, is one of the scribes. He is the sofer at the time of Yechizkiyahu HaMelech. So he's a very righteous person who, against the tide of people, against the tide of the public, we'll call it subscription or favorite media channel, is actually adopting the voice of truth, which is Yirmiyahu. But another thing which is important is Achikam is also a name we should know in Tanakh. We're going to see it appear a number of times. It's at the end of Malachim, and we're going to see it later on in Yirmiyahu Perek Mem Aleph. And that is that he has a son, and that son's name is Gedaliah. Gedaliah ben Achikam. Isn't it interesting that Gedaliah ultimately actually lost his weakness, his flaw was not listening to slander about other Jews. When he was told that Yishmael's a bad guy and don't listen to him, it's funny, he wasn't prepared to listen. Achikam is the person who's not willing to be tainted by the rabble's voices and the false claims against Yirmiyahu, and that is what ultimately saves him. It saves Yirmiyahu. Unfortunately, it's going to be the thing which undoes his son Gedaliah in years to come. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.